This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. For those who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa. And if you have prayer requests or comments you'd like to leave in the program, you may do that either by regular mail or by email through the website. Now, we've been making a journey through the Bible looking at some of the people, the personalities that have made an impression on me over the years. We're not covering them all, but we're covering quite a few of them, and we've now come to the New Testament, and I want to look at the mini biography that I'm going to give you of Peter the Apostle. We're going to read about him first of all in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And the Lord then called him to follow him. Now it's interesting that he was a fisherman, he was not a seminary student. Now, that doesn't mean I'm criticizing seminary students, because I believe Paul, the apostle, would have been considered a seminary student. He would have been learned in all of the Old Testament ritual of the Pharisees. But when we look at Peter, most of us can identify with him because he was impulsive, but he did love the Lord. One of the things that we know about Peter is that he walked on water. We read about that in the 14th chapter of Matthew, where we read that the Lord was walking toward the apostles on the Sea of Galilee. And, of course, a storm came up, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, how many of us would have been willing to make a statement like that and would have had enough confidence in the Lord to make a statement like that? And the Lord said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So it worked. Wasn't necessary. I don't understand any reason for Peter to walk on the water and go to the Lord when the Lord was already walking on the water and could have come to them. But Peter got his eye off the Lord, and it says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So apparently the Lord got into the boat with them. And of course, the boat can't sink when the Lord's in the boat. But he also stilled the wind. And I've often wondered if this particular incident didn't happen in Peter's life, because after the resurrection, we know that the Lord recommissioned Peter after his denials. We'll look at that in a moment, to serve him. And we know that it ultimately ended up in Peter, if we can understand history correctly, and if history is correct, it ended up with Peter being crucified upside down for his faith in the Lord Jesus. And somehow I just wonder if this incident wasn't designed to prepare Peter for the fact that the wind would be boisterous even in his service for the Lord, but he needed to keep his eye on the Lord. When the wind was boisterous, the Lord would save him. And in some cases, salvation is through the article of death. We don't believe that, because we know that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. But in the Old Testament, there were people who didn't understand that some people were taken away from the judgment that was to come. In other words, their deaths saved them from the pain of judgment that was going to come on the nation of Israel. So, nevertheless, even if I don't understand this properly, it's interesting that Peter, in his impulsiveness, had confidence in the Lord, and he did walk on water. But when he got his eye off the Lord, he sank, and the Lord didn't leave him. He didn't forsake him. He brought him safely to the boat. And we need to remember that if we trust in the Lord, and if life does get boisterous, and if we lose our focus on the Lord isn't going to lose his focus on us. And I really believe that. And so I just don't understand people who go through life thinking that they can do it on their own and they don't need someone to stand beside them, to stand with them, and not only to save them eternally, but to preserve them in a practical way, to be their friend, to be the one who can forgive them. I don't understand why people would want to go through life like that when the Lord is available to all of us. Not in the physical way he was to Peter, but in a spiritual way. Through the Holy Spirit, he guides and blesses those of us who trust in him. And I've trusted him for salvation for eternity, but I've also trusted him with my life for time. And I can go back to place after place where I was in a boisterous sea and got my eye off the Lord, but the Lord didn't get his eye off me. He preserved me, and he has kept me, and he has kept my family, and I just thank the Lord for that. Now, there's a misunderstanding about how Peter fits into the church situation. That is, there are many people who think that Peter was the first pope, that he was the rock on which the church was built. And they read from Matthew 16 with regard to that, where the Lord says to them, "Whom do you say that I am?" Now, that's a very important question. Who do you say that I am? If you believe that the Lord was just a good man, he's never going to be able to save you. But the Lord was God. He was the Son of the living God. And so when the question is asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" Simon Peter answered in Matthew 16 and verse 16, "You are the Christ," that is the anointed one, the Messiah, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To be the Son of the living God meant he was God himself. He was the one who fulfilled the office of Son. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And that's interesting to me because he had companied with the Lord and had seen his miracles and he knew what he could do. But yet there was a spiritual aspect to his understanding of who the Lord was. And when we read from John chapter 3, we know that when we're born again, the wind blows where it lists, and thou dost hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's the Spirit has a part in what we believe, and I believe that's kind of what's implied here. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so he says, He's had a special understanding or opening of his understanding by the Father. And he says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And some think that rock is Peter, but if you study this carefully, you'll find out in the context the rock is the truth that Peter confessed. It's this truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's the Lord who is the rock. And even as Peter writes in his epistle, he makes it clear that the Lord is the chief cornerstone. We come to him in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as living stones." That's what Peter was. That's what we are if we're believers. "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so this stone that we're referring to is we are living stones in the house, but the Lord himself is the chief cornerstone, and he's a rock of offense. That's what he's called in this passage, a rock of offense to the Jews. So please don't believe that a man is ever the source or the basis or the foundation of the church, the foundation of the church, that is, of those who believe and are called out of the sects and systems and religious world to worship the Lord, they are being built on the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when we look at Peter, one thing that most everybody knows about him is that he denied the Lord three times. Peter was impulsive, but he was a man. And so when he was brought into the presence of the high priest and those who were holding a trial with regard to the Lord Jesus the night in which he was betrayed, three times over he was asked who he was and if he was a disciple of the Lord, and three times over he said, "I don't know him," and sometimes he even did it with oaths and cursings, and I think they were really oaths and cursings that were designed to make it appear that he didn't speak like a Galilean that would be following the Lord, because the Lord had made his home in Galilee, and these men had come out of Galilee. And so this province was identified with the Lord, and Peter was doing his best not to be identified with the Lord. And obviously he feared for his life. But thank the Lord, while he denied the Lord, he was restored to service in John chapter 20. He says, there are in John chapter 21, the Lord comes to him and says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And we aren't going to go into that passage in depth, but basically he does that three times and recommissions Peter. And I like the way the Lord does it. He doesn't rub his nose in the fact that he had denied him, but he makes it very evident that he had denied him, and Peter makes it very evident that he wishes he hadn't. And the Lord restores him to service and fellowship. And so when we look at Peter, we look at somebody who was not a student or a scholar in the sense that Paul was. We look at someone who was just a fisherman. And but he loved the Lord and he followed the Lord. And I have no doubt that there was a point based on Matthew 16 where it became very clear to him that the Lord was who he claimed to be, and he trusted him not just as a man, but he trusted him as his Savior, and the apostles needed to be saved just like we need to be saved. And friend, I hope that you too have come to trust the Lord. There'll be times when it will appear like the wind is boisterous and you'll need to be reassured of the Lord's love and care for you, but the Lord will never leave you or forsake you if in fact you have trusted in him. And think of it, he'll pray for you, he'll be your friend, and he'll make it possible for you to be with him throughout the endless ages of eternity. If you trust him, he'll forgive your sins and make you a child of God. And so, friend, we just thank the Lord for his love. And right now, we would pray that he would bless these few thoughts and bless our audience as we give thanks in his name. We give thanks and pray for that blessing. Amen.